take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It's good to be back in New England. We were gone for a few days over Christmas to see my mom spend some time down there. Of course, it's good to do that, but I missed, even though it was 60-some degrees every day, I genuinely miss being here. I like New England, so I hope you do too. I hope you had a Happy New Year. Just curious, I don't know why I think about these things, but does anybody here ever go down to New York City and watch that ball? Has anybody ever done it? There's a hand or two that was raised. Did anybody do that last night? No? All right. Well, we're with people of like mind. I didn't either, but I read some articles about that. It sounds fairly miserable. They said they shove you in these pins now for security reasons, and people were, one article I read, they were upset because Domino's, they felt like, was price gouging people, selling them $30 pizzas there. I mean, it's capitalism, they're taking it, and people, but the people they interviewed, the mayor was upset about it, but the people they interviewed were thrilled that somebody came by and offered them food because they were so trapped in those pins. But that's not for me, and it seems like it's not for most of us. But Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, and I'm going to begin reading verse 7. Well, before I get into it, if you don't have a Sunday school class you attend this Sunday, we'll start a series in the new year here on Ecclesiastes next door in the fellowship hall. So I encourage you to think about that. But Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Dear Lord, help us tonight as we open up the scriptures, first time in this new year and in this new decade. Help us, Lord, to think of some things from your word, to ponder some things, remember some things, and maybe change some things as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes is a book that describes a key phrase of the book. It describes man's view of life. The key phrase is under the sun. I mean, if you read it and just study it without really any context of what you're reading, you can almost get depressed in certain spots and in certain places. But really, it's not a depressing book. It's a book that gives a lot of wisdom about life. And it also gives us how to find real meaning in life. As a matter of fact, the conclusion, I'm teaching a series, and here I'm giving away the conclusion already. In chapter 12, in verse 13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so he describes life lived under the sun, and there's a word that he uses over and over. It's the word vanity. And that word, it means kind of how it sounds in a way. It doesn't mean like we would think of someone, oh, that person, they're vain. They like to stare at themselves in the mirror all the time. That's not necessarily what it means, but it means emptiness. It has within it a definition. It means a fleeting nature. It flees by quickly. A good way to illustrate it, you think about a man or a woman. You read sometimes about people like this that, you know, they retired when they were 39 years old because they earned, you know, they earned a certain amount of money. Here's how they did it. And you can read that, you think, well, you know, that's pretty neat. You know, they were able to achieve that in their life. And maybe they even go on to do great philanthropic endeavors, and they give away a lot of money and do great things, and that's neat. But you know what? If that's all they're living for, it's going to be gone really quick. Because even if they live to be 80 or 90 years old or 100 years old, and they've been good with that money, and it's grown, and And maybe, again, they could do good things with it. They could give it to good causes and, you know, help to fight cancer and help little kids and things like that. None of us would argue that those are bad things or would say that those are bad things. But at the end of the day, if that's all you live for, you know what? You're gone. And that money stays for somebody else to do something with. You have no control over it. You know, the richest person in the world that can move economies with one phone call or one tweet or one statement, you know what? The day after their last day on this earth, they have no more influence or sway over it all. Other than maybe in a will or something that they left behind. See, it flees quickly. It's vanity. It goes quickly when it's not in the right context. And because of that, several places in the book deal with the cycle and passage of time. Again, the word vain itself, vanity, has within it a concept of time, that it moves quickly, it's gone quickly. But so a lot of the book deals with time. It talks about everything to everything. There is a season. In chapter 11 here, where we read in verse 1, it alludes to the concept of sowing and reaping in verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It alludes to the idea of you reap what you sow, and it takes time to get back that which you have sown. So time, and the time element of Ecclesiastes, is really very, very prominent. And of course, this is an interesting day to consider the time element because of the day in which we are January the 1st. This was the day I can always remember, he's in heaven now, my grandfather's birthday on my dad's side, my dad's dad, because he was born on January the 1st. Actually, last year, I think it was, he would have been 100 years old if he was still alive. January the 1st. And it's the start of new things in a lot of ways. You know, people get all excited. It's kind of interesting, and it's a good marker of time, but you know, folks, all this new beginning, but even that's kind of a vain thought, isn't it? You know, if you were in debt on December the 31st, that credit card statement's still laying there on January the 1st. You know, it is a time to think about and to reflect and to commit. But this isn't just, Pastor Townsley mentioned this, this isn't just the beginning of a new year, it's the beginning of a new decade. I always have kind of thought about life in series of decades. And so it's interesting to go to a passage that alludes to time in a book that where time has its presence all throughout the book and on a day like this. And here in the passage that we read, he gives an admonition here. This is written from the standpoint of a father to a son. But he says in verse 7, he says, truly the light is sweet and pleasant thing to be, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice them all, here is what he says. He says, yet let him remember the days of darkness. That's an interesting thought. Remember the days of darkness. Who likes to think about the dark things? I mean, we don't like to. We like to think about good things. But you know what? There's some wisdom here. You learn lessons through the days of darkness. You know, somebody who goes through life and, you know, everything's handed to them and everything's gifted to them and they move right along, you know what? There's certain things they miss out on compared to someone who's had to struggle, who's had to deal with some days of darkness, who's had to deal with consequences of bad decisions and had to deal with the consequences of life just happening and had to deal with the mishaps and the misfortunes of life. You know what? Those days of darkness, we learn a lot more than we do the days of sunlight, usually. So he said, remember. He challenges him here to remember. It's been famously said that those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it. It's also been said, and really the two phrases are linked, that those who cannot remember the past are doomed to repeat it. And so we think on a day like this, and I, you know, probably Sunday, Pastor Townsley might, I don't know what he's going to, he doesn't tell me what he's going to preach, but he might think ahead a little bit. But the challenge I want to put in front of you this evening is to kind of think about the last decade. And then from that, some Bible principles right out of the passage that we just read to help us put us in the right mindset going into the next decade. Just think, I jotted down a list of questions, things to consider, to ask yourself. Over the last 10 years, how has the Lord blessed you in the last 10 years? Has He blessed you? If you go back to January 1st, 2010, and you think about things that have happened over those times, you know, it's great to remember that the Lord has blessed us over those years. Right. I was talking about it a little bit this morning. We had a special breakfast together as a family, and I thought, you know, I met two of my kids in the last decade. That's a great blessing. Both my daughters were born then. But there's other things, and there's things, a way that we can think back and go, the Lord's blessed us. Ask yourself, how has the Lord helped you through difficulty in the last 10 years? I'm sure everybody in here could go through in 10 years and you could think of something where the Lord has brought you through difficulty and brought you through difficult times. Yes. Reflect a little more and think, have you done what the Lord wanted you to do in the last 10 years? You know, it's easy to think we make a big decision. You know, the Lord wants me to do something. I'm take a step. And it's easy to kind of revel in the glory of that decision for a little bit. And we intend to take the step, but we don't take the step. And you know, if we're not careful, one day of not taking that step can turn into 2 days. And that 2 days turns into a couple of weeks. And that couple of weeks turns into a few months, and suddenly it turns into a year. And if we're not careful, we can easily blow through 10 years and we didn't really do what God wanted us to do. Have you done what the Lord wanted you to do the last 10 years? Have you grown spiritually from where you were 10 years ago? Think about 2010 to now. Have you grown in the Lord in that length of time? Maybe you've backslid. Maybe you would look back and go, I'm actually not doing as well spiritually as I was in 2010. Of course, there's several folks in here that you got saved during this time frame. But how have you grown? Have you progressed in the Lord? Thought about this one. This was just different things to think about. Did you lead anyone to the Lord over the last 10 years? Was there anybody that you were able to present the gospel to and they trusted Christ as their Savior? That's something to think about. How about this? Is your family, so thinking about moms and dads or grandparents or people that husbands and wives, that you have a family unit that you're in charge of, if you will, your influence is there. Is your family going in the right direction? You know, a decade changes so much, doesn't it? I remember being about 18 years old and graduating high school, maybe 19 years old, and thinking, boy, kind of having the feeling like you had some things figured out. Well, I got the next decade through my 20s. I felt dumber at 30 than I did at 19. Because a decade changed over. I got married, had two kids, had all, you know, and moved, you know, what felt like continents, you know, had come to a new place and all. And you know, you start dealing with life, had gotten and worked full-time jobs, you know, career-type jobs, and had done all those things. And boy, a lot happens in a decade, doesn't it? A lot changes. And you know, if you have kids, and this isn't just the parents with kids, but if you have kids, you ought to think, boy, how much 10 years is going to change and make things different. And if we're not careful, we think back about what has happened, we realize some things. That either we did accomplish something, which is important to remember, because sometimes when we're accomplishing something in the moment, it doesn't feel like we are. But if we realize we have, we can be thankful for that, or we might look back though and realize, you know what, there's some things that even over 10 years I knew I should have gotten done, but did not get them done. Well, friend, now's the time to start. Because just as surely and quickly as that last 10 years passed, you know what, you'll blink and the next 10 years will be gone as well. Now think ahead a little bit. What needs to be done in the next 10 years? What? You know, I gave you the famous quote already. If you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. My dad had said this. He didn't invent it. You hear it all over, but he was the first time that I heard him allude to it, and it was in a sports context. You'd see somebody, you know, in a batter's box, and they're in a slump, and they're not making contact. They're not putting the ball in play. They're not hitting line drives. They're not doing what they need to do. And he'd say, need to change something. Need to change something. And the principle was this, that, you know, the kind of the classic, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That was kind of his mindset. Well, listen, if it didn't go the way we thought it should have that would please God over the last 10 years, you know what? Maybe we need to change something. Maybe we need to change our approach. Maybe we need to change how we think. Well, I want you to look at these verses. And there's some principles here that can help us approach the next 10 years in the right way and in the right mindset. I'm not getting into maybe what you need to do in the next 10 years. It's more about how we need to think about it and how we need to approach it going into the next 10 years. Number one, what do we need to do? What does our mindset need to be? First of all, we need to enjoy the life that God has given you. Look at verse number 9. He says, well, look at verse 8, first phrase, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, he talks about rejoice, and he says, then let him remember the days of darkness. Then verse number 9, he says, remember, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. He says, rejoice, O young man. He says, rejoice, enjoy where you're at. It's vanity. It's going to flee away fast. Enjoy where you're at. Many people don't realize it, but they wish their entire life away. You know, I think about this again with kids. You know what? You say, well, I wish those kids would act more mature. You know what? One day they will. Boy, there's so much noise in this house. Friend, one day it'll be very quiet. And if we're not careful, you know, you're thinking about 10 years of time, we can realize that I've wished the whole thing away. Boy, I hate my job, or, you know, it's so difficult. And then it's gone. Or we can't work anymore. Now, he says here, to young men, it'd be easy to think, well, this doesn't apply to me if I'm at a certain age, but consider this, everybody in this room, saw little Lydia in here, and up to whoever would be the oldest, we're not going to ask, we're not going to make anybody say or whatever, but everybody in this room, from that little baby to whoever the oldest, is as young as you will ever be right now. Right. Don't wish it away. You know what, God gave us a great gift in giving us life to live on this planet. That's what he's given us. And you know what? We only get one shot through here. We should find the joy of the Lord in it. And there are a lot of people, maybe not sitting in this room, maybe not listening, I don't know, but I know, I've known enough people in life that blow through a 10-year period in constant discontent because of one thing or another, and they never find any enjoyment from the Lord in any of those days and years. Friend, for a believer, it shouldn't be that way. You know, life's not perfect, is it? But he even reminds us there's lessons to learn even in the days of darkness. I worked with people before that, you know, you get into a project, a special project or a special endeavor, and, you know, nothing ever goes right. You know that? You figured that out? I mean, think about it in a visible sense, like construction. If you're going to remodel something, you always think ahead of time, I know what's going to happen. And then you start tearing stuff out and realize, oh, wait, this is rotted and this is bad and this fell apart and this wasn't done right. And you realize all these things And so I've worked with people before. You get in projects of different things, and it's like every time, oh, here it goes again. After a while, I'm thinking, just understand the next project, something's going to go wrong. Why be miserable about it? Why take a mindset of misery about it? Listen, these days that God has given us are precious days. There are days you can't get back. Moms and dads with those kids, you can't get those days back. You can't go back and rewind and pause and replay and do it again. Enjoy what God has given you now. There are people that are paralyzed by fear for what might happen next. Oh, I can't take a step. I think about in the New Testament, the guy with the talent, he kept it wrapped up and hidden. Why? He was afraid of what might happen. Well, he alludes to that mindset earlier in chapter number 11. In verse 4, he says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." In other words, somebody who just sits around and goes, "Well, it's a little too windy today. I bet the seed won't land in the right place. I better wait till tomorrow." Or, you know what, it's a little cloudy. I don't know if we should go out and start the harvest. We're probably going to get right in the middle of everything, and it's all going to get wet, and, you know, it's not going to be good. He said, listen, if you're observing the wind and the clouds, and you're looking at all those different things, you know what? You're never going to sow, and you're never going to reap. Friend, we need to realize, and I know that I'm speaking chiefly to believers this evening, and if there's somebody that's not a believer, trust me, the joy only starts after you become a true believer. But in speaking to believers, as believers, we have a companion with us to go with us for that next step. We shouldn't live in fear. We should live and rejoice in the days that God has given us. You say, I'm 5 years old, rejoice in the days that God has given you. I'm 15, rejoice. I'm 25, rejoice. I'm 55, rejoice. I'm 75, rejoice. Why? Because God has chosen to give you life to live, and to live it for His honor and His glory is the highest purpose and reason that we can live it here on this earth. He told his son that was younger than him, he said, remember, son, he said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Don't let it pass you by. We're only allowed one journey. And God's the one that gave us the opportunity. Use it to its fullest extent. Second thought. So enjoy the life that God has given you. Second thought, embrace the fact that God cares about what you are doing. There's a phrase here in verse number 9 that for some reason, I say, of course, we know the reason, how we're human. It's very distasteful to even believers. Look at what it says in verse 9. He says, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So, oh, judgment. Oh, you know, listen, you know why there's going to be a judgment seat? You know what that means? What that should tell me? God cares about what I'm doing on this earth. And why should that be a problem? That God cares about what I'm doing. But so often we do. We treat it like our Christianity is a burden. Trying to live for the Lord is a burden. Or, you know, trying to do right is a burden. Listen, friend, there's a God in heaven that sent His only begotten Son. We just celebrated Christmas to this earth. And I'm glad, and you would say so too, and every true believer would too, I'm glad that He cared enough to die for me. And I'm glad He cared enough to rise again and ascend into heaven and sit there at the right hand of the Father. And I'm glad that He cared enough to go and prepare a place for me. Would we all say we're glad that He cared enough about those things? Now, why should we be glad that He cares about what we do here on this earth? He does. We're His. You know, what else would we want to be? You ever met a believer that wishes, I mean a true believer, someone who's truly trusted Christ as Savior? You ever met one that would say, I wish I wasn't His anymore? I've talked to a lot. Now, I've talked to people who I think gave lip service to salvation and they didn't really mean it, and But I've talked to a lot of believers over my life. I've never had one say, boy, I wish I wasn't his any longer. Well, you know what? If we're his, that means he cares about what we do. He told his son here in his youth, he said, remember that, know that all these things, that God will bring thee into judgment. You know what? Everything that happened in the last 10 years, God knows. You say, well, I can't change that. You're right. 1 John 1:9, if you need to get it right, you can get it right. But here's the challenge. You know what? He cares about what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And that we can do something about. Say, well, I didn't obey then. Well, obey now. You know, I fell short then. Well, keep going now. If he's got you on this earth, don't you think he still cares about what you're doing? Of course he does. And understand that he's told us, he's given the roadmap in his book. He's not made it complicated. We need to determine more than ever, I'm going to obey it more fully than ever. We don't need less obedience to the Bible over the next 10 years. We need more obedience to the Bible in the next 10 years. You know, think about it this way. Think about the missionaries that our church supports. And just think, I mean, even with normal attrition, think about how many of them have to be replaced over the next 10 years. Think about how many pastors and preachers and Sunday school teachers and deacons and church workers, and I mean, you think about all of how will it all happen when we realize God cares about what we do and we are equally concerned about him being pleased with what we do. You know what? His work will continue. His work will maintain. So embrace the fact that God cares about what you are doing. Third thought, and we'll finish on this one. So we should enjoy the life that God's given us, embrace the fact that God cares about what we're doing, and then thirdly, in verse number 10, we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. He says, therefore, verse 10, because God will bring thee into judgment, he says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. They flash away quickly. So he said, what you need to do, he said, you don't use your excuse. This is a principle that's in the Bible and other places. Paul told Timothy this. It's also in chapter 12, the very next verse, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. He's telling him, don't use your youth as an excuse. He said, listen, your youth will fly quickly. Don't take, when you're not in your youth, don't take consequences with you because of your youth. We all know people that have done that. They're not young anymore, but the pattern of their life has been told by what they did when they were young. They put themselves in bondage to things when they were young, and even 70, 80 years old, they'll still be paying the consequences of it. Now, this is not to the youth, but the message as a whole, but let me just pause here for a moment, young people. Listen, remember, don't use your youth as an excuse to not do what God wants you to do. You used to say, sow your wild oats, all that stuff. Listen, don't use that as an excuse. But the principle here is that he's trying to get across is you need to empty yourself of yourself. Right. He says, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh. He says, get away with it. Do away with it. That has to do with here we are in the Old Testament, in the poetic books as we call them, and we're reading this very New Testament truth, and it's this, die to self. It says, get over yourself. The natural focus of youth is one's own self, and we know that that's the focus that we all struggle with at every stage of life. There's a principle here that we need to consider. Even our sorrow can be self-motivated. He said, remove sorrow. A lot of people feel sorry for themselves. That's why it's not just, you know, I'm hurt because of a circumstance. It's I'm feeling sorry for myself. Empty yourself of self. Hebrews chapter number 12 says it this way. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't pretend to know. Don't even care to know. It's in God's hands of what could happen over the next 10 years. But we all do, as we are right here on January 1st at the start of a new decade, we ought to kind of look at it like the beginning of the new leg of a race. Now, maybe the Lord returns before it's over. Maybe he comes back. I don't know. He might very well do that. He certainly could. Would be right and correct in everything that the Bible says. He could return in the next 10 years. But we ought to look at it with a mindset of I am running this leg of the race that God has given me to run. And how do we do that successfully? It's verse 2, looking unto Jesus of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So what's the key to changing what needs to be changed for the next decade? It's to empty ourselves of ourselves. Instead of looking forward, even, we need to look up. We need to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember he's the reason we're here. He's the one that gives, that makes all this not vain. He's the one that makes all this not just a fleeting, passing thing that quickly flies away and we can't take. He's the one that links us in with eternal treasure and with eternal riches. And he's the one that can save my family that may not be saved. And he's the one that can give purpose where I feel no purpose. He's the one that can give me joy in my job. He's the one that can help me through the days of darkness that Solomon here encourages him to remember. He's the one that has given me a path to follow, that has given me a mandate by which to live, that has given me an example through his death. Keep your eyes on him. And as you do that, the next decade will go very well. He says, remember. We need to remember. We need to remember the dark days. We need to rejoice in the good days, but we need to remember the dark ones. We need to remember where we fell short. We need to remember where we did not succeed because of our own flesh. We need to remember the goals we didn't meet that we felt like the Lord had laid on our hearts. We need to remember where we fall short. Why? Because if we don't, we just continue right along. You know what? We'll be standing here and 10 years and we'll maybe preach this same message, who knows, and we will be thinking the same thoughts and we will remember, wow, not just 10 years passed, but 20 now. I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Friend, God's given us a great gift in that he has given us time on this earth. He's given us time to influence others. He's given us time with each other. Let's not take it for granted. Let's not let it go by unused. Dear Lord,